He has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning. It's the June 13th. It's the live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California. Well, we have a little bit of steam building here this morning in the market. Not a lot, but a little after what was a really crazy Nikkei last night. Boy, when I saw that Nikkei before I went to bed last night, oh, we're going to have a roller coaster ride tomorrow in the market. But so far, we've had a pretty orderly opening here. So far, the Dow is up 20 points. We're just above 15,000. Of course, yesterday we closed below that 15,000 level for the first time in quite a long time. We are currently at 15,015. And that could come or go very, very quickly. The S&P 500 is up 2.5 points right now. It's at 1615. And I've been saying all week that that 1600 level would be a key level. At least one big piece of evidence on the S&P 500 as to whether or not we're going to enter into correction territory, which, you know, the odds continue to increase that we are entering into correction territory. We're down about, what, 4% from the high recently. Correction territory, you know, would be 5 to 10 to 15% somewhere in there. We haven't quite entered that yet, but we look to be heading in that direction. The Nikkei is down 1.5, or the NASDAQ is down 1.5 to 33.98. The euro is at 133. Gold is down $13 an ounce to 13.79. And oil is down 22 cents to 95.66. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radar. What went on in Japan? In Japan's market, the Nikkei yesterday. In the overnight session, the Nikkei dropped an equivalent of 900 Dow points. You see, what happened in Japan is the government came along and said, we're going to do anything and everything, whatever it takes, to jumpstart the world's third largest economy, which is Japan. And they committed to throw everything but the frying pan at it, buying up bonds like we're doing here in America, buying up stocks like we're not doing here in America, buying up REITs like we're not doing here in America, buying up exchange-traded funds, buying up closed-end funds, and on and on and on. And what did the market, what did the Japanese market do when they announced that intervention, that intervention action? Well, the Nikkei went from, it went up about, let's call it 10, 12, went up about 25% in 4 months. Now, here's a problem, and I've talked about this before. We call that a parabolic move, okay? Like a jet taking off a runway. It goes along, and you're bumping along that runway. You're going level for a while, then all of a sudden it kicks in. The nose lifts up, and the wheels leave the ground, and then it goes parabolic for a while, and then it levels off again. Parabolic moves in stocks, in markets and sectors and asset classes, usually don't end up well. And in this case, that parabolic move that the Nikkei made, which carried it up about 25 to 30% since January, ended about a month ago, about 6 weeks ago. Profit taking started to set in, and Japan started to back off their promises. And you know, and so now you've had the Nikkei come down here 11, 12, 1.5, about 15% off the high. So we'll just have to see where it goes from here. Now, what does that have to do with the U.S. markets? Well, you know what? Markets are global now. We all watching one another. If you don't think the U.S. markets watch the Asian markets overnight, Well, you know what? It does. And the Asian markets take a cue from our markets. The Asian markets tonight will take a cue from what our markets do today. And they are all linked with one another. So, you know what? As part of my weekly newsletter, Walk Through the Markets, I look at all the asset classes. The more you can look at, the better decisions that you can make. And obviously the Asian markets, which have been done very poorly this year. I was interviewed yesterday by a Reuters reporter, and she was asking me about the bond market. And she said, if you're not in the bond market, where are you? And I said, well, I'm all in domestic stocks. She said, well, isn't that risky to have all your money in domestic stocks? I said, well, yeah, but look at what the emerging markets are doing this year. Why would I want to have any exposure there? You've got Japan down 13% this year. The S&P is up 15%. That's a 28% difference. So, you know, and I explained to her my case against asset allocation. You know, I know asset allocation says you put all these monies in these various asset classes and you just let them sit. And there will be times when one does well and one does poorly, and there will be another time when one does poorly and one does well, and vice versa. Rarely is there a time when they all do well. But I just believe in being focused and concentrated in the best asset classes, but also moving when the market starts to move. There will come a time again in the future when the emerging markets and the international stocks are a good place to be. I'll just let the market tell me when it's that time. So I am not a believer in asset allocation. And she told me about someone else that she had just gotten through interviewing. And she has taken her 60-40 mix, which is 60% stocks and 40% bonds. And she's taken the 40% bonds, and she's gone to a shorter term duration on the bonds. I said, well, that's basically like going to cash. Shorter term duration bonds are yielding next to nothing, maybe a quarter of a percent. So in essence, she's got 60% in stocks and 40% in cash. And I said, that's what most of us growth investors are doing right now. We're raising cash. We're taking profits off the table. We're selling our weak sisters. We're finding very little right now that interests us on the way of the buy side. So we are raising cash too. She's doing the same thing, only she's telling you she's got a 40% bond exposure. Well, short-term bonds like that are basically just cash instruments. And she told me that other people are telling her that they're staying the course. Now, I don't believe in that strategy of staying the course. I don't know how many of you out there have been burned because you were told to stay the course. Listen, your broker tells you or your advisor tells you, we've picked these stocks, whatever they are, Microsoft, Intel, Cisco, Merck, Johnson & Johnson. If I just named your portfolio, you probably have a portfolio at one of the big wirehouse firms in America. And as it starts to peel over, you call, finally get through to somebody, and they tell you, oh, we've picked this thing for you for the long haul. And our advice to you is to stay the course. This is an all-weather portfolio that should survive in all weather. Well, did it survive in 2008? I don't know. Only you can answer that. How did you hold up in 2008? How did your all-weather portfolio that was designed by your stay-the-course advisor or broker do back in 2000 and 2001? Did it hold up in a storm? How well did it do? I don't know. Only you can answer that question. I think it's a better strategy to go with the best asset classes during good times like we've been having up till now. We're now seeing obviously an end to the 7-month win streak, but I have had my foot on the accelerator, not in emerging markets, not in international markets, not in the bond market, not in the precious metal pits, not in the pork belly pits, but in domestic stocks. That's what's been performing. That's where the money is. That's why Jesse James robbed the banks. That's where the money was. Now, things are changing. Things don't stay in place forever. Markets are cyclical. We have a cycle, a rotation going on in the market. That rotation is beginning to get a little bit accelerated here. And I believe that you do have to take action. I do not believe in staying the course. More on this when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Laissez-faire is a great policy for government, but a lousy idea for investors. We have to pay attention, but some of us don't have the time or inclination, so we ignore our investments and miss big opportunities. You can do better with Gunderson Capital Management. Bill Gunderson is a fee-based money manager for high-net-worth individuals all across America. You've seen his name in Barron's, Bloomberg, Fox News, MarketWatch, and TheStreet.com. You can put this kind of expertise to work for you, too. Bill tracks over 3,000 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs. He ranks them on value and performance. Whether you're conservative, aggressive, or an income investor, Bill Gunderson will get you into the best stocks now. All accounts are safely held at Scottrade. Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com or call Gunderson Capital Management at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
Rancho Financial, a division of Skyline Financial Group, licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Act, 4130296. Not a commitment to land and not all applicants will qualify. Restrictions apply. Equal housing lender. Let's get right to the point. Craig Brock, the mortgage refinance specialist, is there to help you. The uncertainty of the European debt crisis actually provides an unprecedented opportunity to refinance your home. U.S. bond yields have fallen to their lowest levels. Freddie Mac's reporting a new low for mortgage rates. Craig Brock says, refinance now while there's still time for you to bail out, even if you owe more on your home than it's worth with the hard 2.0 program. But do it now. President Obama has announced changes to FHA's streamlined refinance program that helps more borrowers take advantage of historically low interest rates. It actually allows FHA borrowers to forgo strict loan underwriting requirements when refinancing to another FHA-insured program. And up to 3 million FHA borrowers are eligible for refinancing right now. Call Craig Brock. Craig Brock, the mortgage refinance specialist. He makes it easy. 855-900-EASY. Craig Brock, 855-900-3279.
Walking to an afternoon meeting, Charlotte reached for the stairwell door. That door's blocked, Bill said. But Charlotte had used it an hour earlier. Ignoring Bill's caution, she pushed it open. The next sound they heard was the crash of the door hitting a workman's ladder, then a paint can hitting the floor. No need to repeat the painter's reaction. Bill turned to a wide-eyed Charlotte and said, I warned you not to open the door. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. Good advice does no good if we refuse to listen. The breakdown has something to do with pride. Attentive ears can prevent some colorful messes in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
You work so hard to build a portfolio, yet so many of us ignore it once we do or we tolerate lousy returns. You can do better with Gunderson Capital Management. Bill Gunderson is a fee-based money manager. He manages individual accounts all across America. Now, if you're thinking his name sounds familiar, that's because Bill is a regular contributor on places like Bloomberg Radio, Fox Business TV, MarketWatch, and TheStreet.com investment sites. Every day, Bill tracks about 2,800 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs. He ranks them on value and performance. Bill focuses on the top 6 to 7% of the entire market. Whether you're conservative, aggressive, or an income investor, Bill will get you into the best stocks now, not the best stocks of yesteryear. Minimum account size is $50,000, and annual management fees range from between 1% and 2%, depending on the size of the account. All accounts are safely held in Scottrade.
Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com or call Gunderson Capital Management at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I think, you know, the big question is, and it always will be in the market, one of the big questions is passive investing versus active investing. Passive investing says you buy a market basket, mostly indexes of one sort or another, and you stay put. Active investing says, you know, you monitor those various asset classes. You keep your eye on them. You watch them. You look at their relative performance. You look at the charts, the pictures that they're drawing on a daily basis. And you try to stay focused and concentrated on the best ones. And when they're no longer the best ones, then it's time to move on and rebalance. That's active investing. You know, if you go back, I'm thinking 4 or 5 years ago, remember how hot commodities were? It's all you had to do was buy the copper ETF or the steel ETF or the fertilizer ETF or the gold ETF or the silver ETF. They were flying. Commodity prices were soaring. We had a commodity bubble. Why? Because China was growing exponentially at that time. And their demand for commodities was almost insatiable. And commodity prices went higher and higher and higher and higher. I had a friend, still have a friend, who was a pool contractor. He built swimming pools. And I remember him lamenting about how the price of cement had gone up exponentially. Now the price of rebar had gone up exponentially. That was then. This is now. You could have made a lot of money. And we did make a lot of money in commodities back then. I owned an agricultural ETF. The symbol is moo. Just like the cow. Push the little button in the book. Moo. Right? The little kid laughs and giggles. Well, Moo was a red hot ETF back then. We made a lot of money in Moo. We made a lot of money in potash, right? Fertilizer. We made a lot of money in agrium because of the tremendous demand. Terra nitrogen, tremendous demand coming from China. That was then, this is now. How have they done over the last 2 or 3 years? They haven't done anything. Commodities have been a terrible place to be. A passive investor would say, yeah, but my asset allocation says that I should have a 15% exposure to commodities to protect me from inflation. That's my inflation protecting bucket. Well, you know what? I disagree. I don't think over the last 2 or 3 years, it's been wise to have any money in commodities. It's dragged down the performance of your portfolio. Will commodities be a good place to be again at some point in the future? I truly believe that they will. Is it right there on the horizon? Are they getting ready to bust loose? It doesn't look like it. But at some point in time, whatever the conditions are in the world, it will be such. More than likely will be a falling dollar here in the United States that will send commodity prices higher. What do commodities react to mostly? What's the biggest correlation out there in the market for commodities? Inflation. When the dollar starts to fall and tumble, inflation will start to go up, interest rates will continue rising, and commodity prices will start to go up. Once again, we haven't had any inflation in years. You say, well, but I've got an insurance policy just in case. Well, you know, then you're trying to guess, almost like a life insurance policy, that you're going to step out on the way, a bus is going to hit you tomorrow, and, you know, that life insurance, glad I had it. I don't think the commodity market's going to do that. I don't think tomorrow commodities are all of a sudden going to soar. They'll give plenty of signals. They'll give plenty of advance warning and notice before they start to soar. So for that reason, I have zero exposure to commodities. You know, I remember during that commodity boom Remember Caterpillar? And remember the buyouts that were taking place in the mining industry? In fact, Caterpillar bought up Bucyrus, which sold mining equipment. Caterpillar felt like they had too much exposure to the construction industry, and they wanted exposure to the burgeoning mining industry in Chile and in Peru and in other nether parts of the world. And they bought Bucyrus. That probably was not very good timing. Caterpillar has been a very poor stock to be invested in. It hasn't been a best stocks now for a long, long time. So there's just a case to be made. One example, commodities, for being an active investor versus a passive investor. This guy, Paulson, who was just on CNBC, a hedge fund manager, he's absolutely gotten killed. His precious metals hedge fund is down 55% this year. Another good indictment against passive investing. Okay, let's move to another asset class now. Let's move to U.S. Treasuries, which were the hottest ticket in the land for a long, long time. What's the correlation there? The correlation with the bond market is interest rates. You've had falling interest rates for the last 25 or 30 years. It's caused huge capital gains in the bond market. In fact, the bond market over the last 10 years has outperformed the stock market. That doesn't happen very often. Why? Because interest rates have been in a downward trend for the last 25 years. Heck, you remember the days, wasn't that long ago, when interest rates were double digit. They were 14, 15%. You could get double digit returns on a CD. And if you went to the bank to borrow money for the home, you also had to pay double digit interest rates. But that was then, this is now. Interest rates have been coming down for 25, 30 years. However, if we look at the bond market, it would appear that the bond market peaked in the summer of last year. In fact, the ETF, which is TLT, which tracks treasuries, it hit 132 in the summer of last year. Today it's 113. The bond market, the treasuries, U.S. treasuries, the safest bonds of all, are down 14.4% in the last 10 months. That's a big drop. You think bonds are safe, do you? Well, I'm still getting my coupon of 2% or whatever it is, 1.5%, 2%. Yes, but dear investor, your principal is down 14.4% since, let me get the exact date when the bond market topped out. It was on July 26th of last year. So we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of the top of the bond market. You're now down 14.4% of what's considered to be one of the safest markets around. Active investing or passive investing? My vote goes to active investing. We'll be right back. Every day, I meet people who are so proud of their stocks, but so humbled by their returns. Is that you? Do you own all the famous stocks of yesteryear? GE, Microsoft, GM, Cisco, whatever. I'm Bill Gunderson, your next wealth manager. People tell me these stocks are safe. The only thing safe about them is that we can safely say that they have been bad investments over the last decade. We can fix it. I write about the best stocks now for MarketWatch, TheStreet.com, and for my newsletter. In the newsletter, you can see three model portfolios, one for aggressive growth, one for conservative growth, and one for income-oriented investors. Check out the performance for yourself. Not paying attention is not a good strategy. Checking out my newsletter is.
Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com. That's pwstreet.com or call 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST to get a free 4-week trial. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
Who knows what's going to happen to fuel prices in 2013? With unrest in the Middle East and more disagreement to come in Congress? Not me. Confidence, though, is just a phone call away, and it's called the Fuel Escort. Fuel Escort is the latest technology in the automotive aftermarket that can save you up to 30% on fuel costs. So no matter what happens in the Middle East or here at home, you know that you're getting the absolute most for your dollar, cutting your fuel costs up to 30%. That's not all. Fuel Escort can raise your gasoline's octane 4 to 5 points and increase your horsepower by up to 18%. Fuel Escort is super easy to install and also guaranteed. If you're not 100% satisfied, return Fuel Escort within 90 days for a full refund. That's right. Call toll free 855-879-8394. That's 855-879-8394. Call 855-879-8394 or log on to FuelEscort.com. Fuel Escort, guaranteed.
Harry's career had gone, well, all right. Not every promotion had come through, but he was always willing to learn. Then, nearing retirement, Harry was asked to mentor a sharp young employee, new to the department. Harry couldn't help it. He detested the assignment. Mentor this young man? Support him? No, sir. Harry had earned his stripes. Now help some hotshot outdistance him. Resentment boiled, but Harry had no choice. He made himself talk with a newcomer, and to his surprise, the hotshot listened. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Harry spent the first part of his career learning. Then he discovered that in sharing his wisdom, everyone came out ahead in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Rancho Financial, a division of Skyline Financial Group, licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Act, 413-0296. Not a commitment to land and not all applicants will qualify. Restrictions apply. Equal housing lender. Let's get right to the point. Craig Brock, the mortgage refinance specialist, is there to help you. The uncertainty of the European debt crisis actually provides an unprecedented opportunity to refinance your home. U.S. bond yields have fallen to their lowest levels. Freddie Mac's reporting a new low for mortgage rates. Craig Brock says, refinance now while there's still time for you to bail out, even if you owe more on your home than it's worth with the HARP 2.0 program. But do it now. President Obama has announced changes to FHA's streamlined refinance program that helps more borrowers take advantage of historically low interest rates. It actually allows FHA borrowers to forgo strict loan underwriting requirements when refinancing to another FHA-insured program. And up to 3 million FHA borrowers are eligible for refinancing right now. Call Craig Brock. Craig Brock, the mortgage refinance specialist. He makes it easy. 855-900-EASY. Craig Brock, 855-900-3279.
If you're a high net worth individual and want to stay that way, you have to pay attention to your investments. But some of us don't have the time or the inclination, so we ignore our portfolio and miss big opportunities. You can do better with Gunderson Capital Management. Bill Gunderson is a fee-based money manager for high net worth individuals all across America. You've seen his name in Barron's, Bloomberg, Fox News, MarketWatch, and TheStreet.com. You can put this kind of expertise to work for you, too. Bill tracks over 3,000 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs. He ranks them on value and performance to find the top 7% of the market. Whether you're conservative, aggressive, or an income investor, Bill Gunderson will get you into the best stocks now. All accounts are safely held at ScottTrade. Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com or call Gunderson Capital Management at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We're discussing some lofty subjects here. We're philosophizing today on markets. Stay the course. You hear all these cliches all the time. Stay the course. Is that good or bad? Which side are you on? I know you could make an argument for both. But which side are you on? What do you believe in doing? How did staying the course work for you in 2000? How did staying the course work for you in 2008? I don't know. Only you can answer that question. active versus passive investing. That will always be one of the big debates in the market. The passive investor says buy the index funds and stay put and go to sleep. Not worry about it. Wake up 15 years from now and you're ready to retire. You're all set for life. Boom. Income for life. You're done. It's all you had to do was 15, 20, 25 years ago buy a basket of indexes and never lift a finger. Other than as you get older, some would say asset allocate, move more money towards bonds as you get older away from the more riskier stocks. Well, you know, I'm just looking at U.S. Treasuries here, which are down 14% in about the last 10 or 11 months. That's a pretty big drop. Where do we go from here with U.S. Treasuries? We're now at 2.20% on the U.S. Treasury. Just what would happen? Let's just do a what if. This is not a what if. It's an if. It is a what. It is going to happen. When the bond market all of a sudden wakes up and says, hey, where's Bernanke's bid this morning? We got all these bonds to sell. Where did that Bernanke guy go? He's been our biggest buyer for a long, long time. He's been buying $90 billion a month of these things. He completely pulled his bid. Would somebody go get Bernanke on the phone and see if he's okay? Well, eventually they're going to taper. They call it tapering. They're going to start pulling their bid. They could always increase it again, but they could go to zero, which is the eventual outcome. They'll eventually go to zero and not buy back their bonds, our bonds anymore. What will the individual investor do after the route that happens in the bond market? Are they going to be really willing to step forward even at 3%, at 3.5%? I don't know how high they'll go, but will the individual investor still be there buying U.S. bonds? How about the Chinese? You know, we don't always get along with the Chinese. Now the Chinese are finding out we've been spying on them as much as they've been spying on us. which shouldn't come as any surprise, but, you know, there could come a time when the Chinese say, hey, you know what? We don't want your bonds anymore. Take your bonds. You can have them. Then what happens to interest? I just don't think there's a very rosy picture out there over the next 5 to 10 years. I don't personally think it's a good idea of having 65% of your assets in bonds because you're 65 years old and just going to sleep here and saying, I'm not going to worry. This bond market will take care of me. I'm all set. Well, you've taken a 14% hit here over the last 10 or 11 months. How much more of a hit can the bond market take? Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? When the U.S. starts to pull its bid and other people say, wow, if they're pulling their bid, I'm pulling my bid, then we'll find out, okay? Now, here's another example. The stock market obviously is not always the place to be. When you listen to my show, if you've listened to my show over the last couple of years, you say Gunderson keeps talking stock market, equities, ownership, stocks. Why? Well, because that's been the best performing asset class. That's been the best place to be. But stocks obviously aren't always the best place to be. Look at 2008. The stock market was down 38%. The bond market was up 25%. That's a 63% difference. Now, there's another argument to be made for active investing versus passive investing. For that reason, I rank the asset classes and the sectors of the market on a daily basis, and I watch them very, very closely. I want to stay with the leaderboard. I want to stay with the ones that are at the top of the leaderboard. And the beauty of it all is that leaderboard can stay in place for a long, long time. Commodities have been at the bottom of the heap, barely making the cut for the last 2 or 3 years. That's been good knowledge for me to have. I've stayed out of that commodities market. You gold investors have been hurt mightily. The leaderboard, the bonds started falling from the leaderboard a year ago. I had to have no exposure whatsoever to the shaky bond market, which continues to get roiled, which continues to get rocked from time to time. Instead, I've been in stocks, but now stocks are starting to falter. What's that leave? Well, that leaves cash, right? And I have raised, as of last Friday, I was 20%. I haven't done my tally yet. I'll do it tomorrow. I would guess by tomorrow I might have 30% in cash. Why? Because there's no better place to put it. I'm not going to put it into the bond market. I'm not going to put it into the commodities or precious metals market. And stocks are taking a breather. Stocks are taking a break. The 7-month uptrend is over. The 3-day, no down 3 days in a row streak is over. The Tuesday streak is over. You can just feel it in the wind. Summer doldrums are setting in, right? Make a little song about that. Do a C chord and an A minor. Go to a D. They're kind of pretty, actually. The market is changing. Now, there will be things that rise to the top. There's always a top 200 out of a 3,400 stock. There's still stocks that I like. But having said that, I believe that you have to have a sell discipline. As you have found out, I'm not a believer in stay the course. Number one. Number two, I'm not a believer in asset allocation. Number three, I'm not a believer in passive index investing, do nothing. You know, a lot of guys in my business, I would say the majority of guys in my business and gals, are passive investors. Why? It's a heck of a lot easier to put a client into a bunch of stuff and be done with them. Oh, we're going to meet once a year and maybe we'll make a little adjustment and then move on to the next client. It's a lot harder to sit here 11 hours a day monitoring and watching. That's going to cut into my time that I spend over at the Kiwanis Club. That's going to cut into my golf course time. That's going to cut into my 6-week European vacation time. That's going to cut into my, you know, all my, well, I don't have that kind of time. When I do go on a little vacation weekend trip, I take my laptop with me and I'm on the internet and all this and that. Hey, that's just the way I like doing what I do. But most people in my business are in the business of selling and gathering assets and then moving on to the next person. What's missing from their business model is managing those assets. Now, you have to decide for yourself, you know, if you're a passive investor, if you're a buy and hold type of person, if you're a stay the course, I would say this to you. You've drank Wall Street's Kool-Aid. That's the Kool-Aid they want you to drink, especially the big wirehouse firms. Once in a while, you'll get a call when they got a hot deal, some new partnership that's forming that pays all of their guys or gals 4% commission. Then you'll get the call from them. But as far as, you know, I think Apple here peaked at 705. It's starting to peel over. You've got some good gains here. I think that this market is rotating. You know, Apple's a great example of having some kind of a sell discipline. I bought Apple when it was like 375, 380. In fact, I wrote an article, several articles that were published, big websites, MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com. I was on Fox Business Channel. I had the audacity to call Apple the cheapest growth stock in the entire market. What was it ranked in my Best Stocks Now app? I was in the top 10. Here's this large mega cap company that everybody knows about, and yet it was the cheapest stock in the market. It was my biggest holding here at Gunderson Capital Management. And it went from 385 to 705. Now, it was still inexpensive. It was still undervalued, according to the estimates out there on the street at that point. But something big changed in Apple. The sentiment changed. The performance went away. The chart rolled over. For that reason, I don't believe in buy and hold. I believe in being an active investor. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
I can't believe how this year has just flown by. I mean, it's June. Summer's here. And why is summer especially exciting this year at the Mefford House? Well, it all centers around my husband, Charlie, and Healthy Trim. Not only has Charlie lost over 15 pounds, he has all this energy, and we have Healthy Trim to thank for that. Healthy Trim is the natural weight loss supplement that's helped Charlie lose over 15 pounds. It was the appetite suppression that made the big difference for him. Healthy Trim curbs his appetite, reduces his cravings, so he eats less. And plus, Charlie loves the energy that it gives him. It's so encouraging when you go to Healthy Trim's website and click on the testimonials page. You can check out all the hundreds of before and after photos on their website, healthytrim.com. You'll be amazed. Charlie and I were. Just try Healthy Trim. And if it doesn't work for you like it has for Charlie, you can send it back for a full refund. Call 855-600-TRIM today and you'll get a free bottle with your purchase. Buy one, get one free. Go to healthytrim.com or call them 855-600-8746, 855-600-TRIM.
Every day, I meet people who are so proud of their stocks, but so humbled by their returns. Is that you? Do you own all the famous stocks of yesteryear? GE, Microsoft, GM, Cisco, whatever. I'm Bill Gunderson, your next wealth manager. People tell me these stocks are safe. The only thing safe about them is that we can safely say that they have been bad investments over the last decade. We can fix it. I write about the best stocks now for MarketWatch, TheStreet.com, and for my newsletter. In the newsletter, you can see three model portfolios, one for aggressive growth, one for conservative growth, and one for income-oriented investors. Check out the performance for yourself. Not paying attention is not a good strategy. Checking out my newsletter is.
Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com. That's pwstreet.com or call 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST to get a free 4-week trial. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
Police called and broke the bad news to Charles. His personal and financial information was found on an identity thief's computer disk. Nervous and confused, Charles called LifeLock, the industry leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock went into action, uncovering multiple fraudulent credit applications the identity thief was trying to open in his name. LifeLock shut them down and helped him restore his good name and credit. Charles found out the hard way that identity theft is a global crime, a crime that's become so complex, you simply can't fight it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. Don't wait for a call from the police before you take action. Visit LifeLock.com now or call and mention promo code Prager to get a special 10% discount. Call 1-800-921-3820. 1-800-921-3820. 1-800-921-3820. See LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
If you're a high net worth individual and want to stay that way, you have to pay attention to your investments. But some of us don't have the time or the inclination, so we ignore our portfolio and miss big opportunities. You can do better with Gunderson Capital Management. Bill Gunderson is a fee-based money manager for high net worth individuals all across America. You've seen his name in Barron's, Bloomberg, Fox News, MarketWatch, and TheStreet.com. You can put this kind of expertise to work for you, too. Bill tracks over 3,000 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs. He ranks them on value and performance to find the top 7% of the market. Whether you're conservative, aggressive, or an income investor, Bill Gunderson will get you into the best stocks now. All accounts are safely held at ScottTrade. Visit Bill's website at pwstreet.com or call Gunderson Capital Management at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Gunderson Capital Management is a registered investment advisor.
Walking to an afternoon meeting, Charlotte reached for the stairwell door. That door's blocked, Bill said. But Charlotte had used it an hour earlier. Ignoring Bill's caution, she pushed it open. The next sound they heard was the crash of the door hitting a workman's ladder, then a paint can hitting the floor. No need to repeat the painter's reaction. Bill turned to a wide-eyed Charlotte and said, "I warned you not to open the door." This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Good advice does no good if we refuse to listen. The breakdown has something to do with pride. Attentive ears can prevent some colorful messes in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. But we've had a busy week. We've talked about a lot. And obviously this weekend I will be writing my newsletter, which goes out to thousands of people across the land. You can get on my weekly mailing list. If ever there was a time where you need a little guidance, you know, I wrote an article a couple weeks ago, managing in this market over the last several months has kind of been like coaching LeBron James. Just give LeBron the ball, would you? Makes you look like a real good coach, right? Well, LeBron doesn't have the ball anymore in the market. Offense is not on the field anymore. Defense is on the field. We're entering into a sideways, and some stocks are selling off, and others are just hanging in there, and others are still going higher. That's why I'm not a believer in being all in or all out. I believe in making individual decisions on the holdings that I have, and I have done a lot more selling recently than I have done buying. Now, let me just give you one more example here of these deep philosophical questions that we are discussing here today. Of course, it's a one-way conversation. You're on your side of the conversation, listening in and weighing it out in your own mind. We've talked about, is it best to stay the course, or is it best to take a little action once in a while? How about active investing versus passive investing? That's what stay the course is. Stay the course is passive. You just sit back and you trust in whatever you trust in. Your advisor, the stock market, the bond market, the precious metals market, the gold dealers, whatever it is you have your faith and trust in, you just say, you know what? I've heard all this and I've just decided that it's best to just sit here in my lazy boy chair and watch TV and not worry about all of this. Stay the course. Listen, hey, everybody has their opinion. That's why it's America. We're all entitled to our opinions. How about buy and hold? How about buying good companies and buying a little portfolio of these good companies and holding them through thick and thin? You know, there's a lot of people that would say, just buy the best. You just buy Microsoft, you just buy Intel, you just buy Cisco, you just buy IBM, and on, Johnson & Johnson, and you never sell them, you hold them forever. You know, that serves some people well. I'm not going to slight anybody for going that route, but in my opinion, those are stocks of yesteryear. You know, a lot of stocks have gone away as new inventions have come along. They're no longer the powerhouses. Look at Sears, you know, look at JCPenney. I mean, on and on and on, companies that were once at the top and are no longer at the top. That's why I believe in going with the best stocks now, not the best stocks of yesteryear, but to each his own. Now, the last subject I'd like to cover here is the market cycles and the sector rotation that goes on. We currently are in a market that has favored anything healthcare. You know, on January 2014, a new law kicks in and starts to take hold on the land. It's called Obamacare. Whether you're for it or against it, it's going to cause a major upheaval amongst the HMOs, amongst the insurers, amongst the medical device companies, amongst the drug companies, amongst the biotechs, amongst the hospitals, and on down the line. That continues to be one of the leading sectors in the market. And it's an area of the market that I continue to have a big stock weighting right now. But there's been some other sectors that have kind of come and gone this year. The housing sector, I was heavily weighted in. Several months ago, you can look at my newsletters and see, man, he really owned a lot of these housing-related, building-related stocks. But you know what? It started to fall out of favor. When did it start to fall out of favor? Well, profit-taking started to set in. Interest rates started to rise. I still believe we're in the early innings of a rebound in housing. But for now, that housing sector has cooled off. That building and construction center sector has cooled off. Sectors rotate, And I believe instead of fighting that fact, it's your choice. You can fight the market. You can fight the sectors. You can stubbornly hang in there and say, I'm right. The market's wrong. You know what? The market's always right. All right, we're going to talk to Craig Brock. At least, you know, Craig, we have seen interest rates and the bond market moderate here. In fact, it's settled down here, but we have settled at a higher area of the market. We're at 2.20 right now on the 10-year, and that's pushed the 30-year mortgage rates above 4% for the first time in a long time. Oop, do we have Craig Brock? Oh, maybe we don't have Craig Brock. I thought we had Craig. There he is. Hey, Craig.
Hey, yeah, you're correct. It has been a long time. It's been about a year since we've seen a 4% 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
Yeah, but you know, it's settled down here. This Japanese stuff is crazy right now. They keep dangling the carrot, then they take the carrot away, and oh man, and that's roiling our markets.
You could say that's crazy, all right. It's insane. The Nikkei having these big swings. 500, 600, 700 points when we're sleeping. Many traders are not getting any sleep at all. But we'll see what happens next week when we have Ben Bernanke speaking, the FOMC rate decision. It could be really interesting based on what's happening in Asia. I do think that we're going to get a little bit more of a pullback. We've got a nice pullback today. We're loving it, locking some rates, locking some loans. We'll see what happens next week. Things could get better.
Well, and the word that came out of the last meeting was the word probably taper. That was the one that everybody got everybody's attention.
It got us upset.
And yeah. We'll see whether or not he gives us any more clarity. You know, the question everybody's asking is, sooner will he start tapering sooner or later? And I think maybe after he saw the reaction that the market had, negative reaction, maybe he'll be a little bit softer next week on us and give us a little bit more clarity and help settle these markets down. Markets don't like uncertainty.
No, by no means. It only takes 15 minutes to make a mortgage application. It can be done on the fly so you can get in the queue, so you can be ready. If these words are softer next week, it's going to be awesome.
Okay, Craig, where can we reach you?
855-900-3279.
All right, and I'm 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.